What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM, or if you're away from the radio dial, you can always stay up to date by listening on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. Just go into your app store, download the Odyssey app, and stay up to date with everything happening here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company, as he is each and every Wednesday, is the MC of Fun and Games here in the Memphis area. He's also the host of Writer Than Right Trivia, airing live on the Jeff Calkins Show, 10:30 on Thursdays. Co-host of 901 Wrestling, his website, CerritoEntertainment.com. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings, Jeffrey, and everybody in Memphis. I got a question for you. What's going to last longer, Jeffrey? The snow on the ground or the school superintendent? Which one will last longer? The snow's been sticking around, man.
So it has been sticking around, which has kind of caught me by surprise.
That's the most unique part of this entire snowstorm, I feel like. I don't recall the last time we've seen it. I've been able to drive around and keep seeing snow.
I'm also a little unclear of when they're actually voting.
Yeah,
on the school superintendent?
Yeah, I'm confused.
It seems like whenever they decide to actually take the vote, they're going to have the votes.
Yeah, the snow's going to be gone by this weekend as we hit 50-plus on the temps. So.
I think I'll say the school superintendent.
It's going to last a little bit longer. Maybe, hopefully, much longer, apparently, according to what the people are saying out there.
But certainly, she is winning the battle of PR. The public case is being made much stronger by her.
Yeah, and the trial or whatever that she was on did not get delayed by that snow. So they still had to show up and do that on time.
Still no vote though.
Still no vote. Yeah.
Still no vote. Let's talk about what we got coming up on the program. It's Wednesday, of course, so we'll play some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Want to start with the Grizzlies? The Grizzlies taking on the Spurs tonight. They have a two-game set in San Antonio. Tonight's game, 7 p.m. You can hear pregame at 6:30 with G-Darb. Eric will have tip-off at 7 p.m. Central. And then on Friday, this game was flexed into the national window. So the Grizzlies and Spurs, 8:30 on ESPN on Friday night. So that game was flexed into the national window. So the two-game set tonight begins tonight in San Antonio. And we will start with the Grizzlies. Grizzlies currently favored by 2.5, according to ESPN Bet. Also discuss some Tigers. It's a big night of college basketball, particularly in the SEC. And then Kevin went to the grand reopening of IKEA. So I want to discuss a little IKEA because it does seem like the people care about it a little bit. So we'll discuss that. Also, during hour number two, we'll get into the list. Eli Manning is signing something that I don't believe I ever expected Eli Manning to sign. Discuss that. Also, at some point, Kevin always has a great question whenever, whether it's a bar, a TV show, whatever it may be, some type of product, Kevin always likes to ask the question, who is this for?
Yes, I do, yeah. Because that's important. You got to know who you're trying to sell your product to.
And I also think it's important, like, when you're trying to say, like, does this thing have staying power?
Right. Does it, like, is there enough people that will get behind what you are selling or producing, your content, are they interested in enough?
Yeah. I want to know who is the TGL for. We had night number two last night. Tiger was yucking it up. So
Did you watch this? You watch this?
I was casually in and out watching it.
Because this was a trivia question. And yeah, it's a puzzling one for many people. So I do wonder that same question. Who is it for? It's because, for me to ask a question about a trivia night.
Because I will openly admit, like, I was the guy that in college, Twitter and Instagram came out at the same time. If I would have been the investor, I would have said, oh, Twitter, way more useful. Like, news source, everything.
Right.
And I would have been the idiot. Like, I would have lost everything. That's why I'm not a financial advisor.
Well, they ended up making out with some money there.
Yeah, I mean, they did, but, like, clearly Instagram's way more valuable.
Yes.
So, oh, yeah. So like, that's kind of, like, I can be wrong on this stuff. I don't think that my brain supersedes all. Like, there's a reason why I'm not running television or running massive media companies. So I wanted to discuss that with Kevin. Get into the list as well during hour number two, and then CJ Hurt going to join us 3:30 like he does each and every Wednesday. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But let's fire it up. Let's do some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, Kevin, I struggled with the appropriate adjective for this one, so I'm just going to blanketly make this statement, and we'll discuss. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Grizzlies games feel more intense now for fans. And again, I'm not in love with intense, but there's something going on, right?
I feel like there's something in the air. I think we're in need of this All-Star break. The Grizzlies fans need an All-Star break.
We haven't
even
gotten a trade deadline.
Right. This season in particular, I'm feeling it when I'm out and about, and obviously looking online, which, of course, you can always say that's a mistake, right? When you do check
especially
Twitter,
with the NBA.
You're well-invested Twitter there. But it feels like we're just, and maybe this is how it's supposed to be. If you are a contender, but you overanalyze every decision, and because quite often you can't. Everybody knows you can't overanalyze every win or loss, right? But
you cannot treat basketball like we do football, where every game's
every game doesn't matter. But what we've come to realize this past week, right? But does it mean you can't package some losses together and really overanalyze that? Like, well, you know, let's package the losses together.
Especially
instead
if you
of looking at every individual loss for the Grizzlies, is now let's look at this team that they have not beaten yet. And it's true. Rockets. I mean, it's true. If you want to look for gloom and doom, and maybe we're in that, maybe it says more about the state of mind of the people of this great land of ours now. But everybody's always thinking the worst, you know, the worst is coming, right? Like, you want to prepare for the worst. Something is terrible. This is not going great. So maybe that plays a factor into it. So can you enjoy the ride a little bit more, maybe? I don't know. Let the professionals figure out some stuff. But I want to know your point on why you feel it is. I feel it is because I just feel like everything is amplified now. But I'm like, is that because we've got a team that is a contender?
So I think there are a few things at play. Number one, I think we can't discount the calendar, correct? Like, we still have important football games left, but it feels like we have transitioned out of football season, and now it's like, let's get serious season for basketball. I think that is certainly a part of it.
Sure.
I think you also touched on something that it does feel like with the Grizzlies. I mean, I've always said this, like, we can be dramatic about basketball in this city. Like, one way.
100%, yeah.
We, and that's also why it's a great sports city, because we do care. And, you know, sometimes maybe we care too much, but, like, that's part of it. Like, that's why you and I get to talk about sports with a microphone in front of us and people listen. I think the other thing is, after last year was such a bummer, there's this idea right now, I think, in everyone's head, like, well, we've got to make the most of it right now. And then I'm not as bought in on this, but I'll at least present it. The only thing that's guaranteed is the next 2 years, because that's how long Jaren's under contract for. Now, because maybe the right word is, it feels like there's a heightened sense of urgency right now, because it does feel like, I mean, I just find even myself being more invested in the games. And I guess another possibility that I would throw out is, it does feel like now that the Grizzlies are playing more Western Conference teams, it feels like right. There's a heightened intensity in the games that you're watching. Like, I just think hard to trick the audience. Like, you know, when you're watching something and it's competitive, the last two games in particular have felt highly intense. The Timberwolves game and then the Rockets game. And so I think that plays into it. But I also think that maybe the right answer is, it's like we've turned to January and there's the, all right, let's get serious now.
Oh, but this time of year is more, you could say it's more intense, right? Yeah. Because, I mean, we're into the season. But I'm just curious on, like, all right, so what? There's been stories this, like, what are the people were talking about? G.G. Jackson's getting, he's going to.
G.G. Jackson's ramping up. They have.
But he's going to play for the Hustle for a minute. Or at least go visit the Hustle. Be assigned to the Hustle.
Harrington made this point this morning. Mm-hmm. I am not as locked into whether or not he's going to play for the Hustle, or if you are going to practice with the Hustle, and because the team's out of town, and oftentimes when they're on the road, they just kind of do shoot around. And so if you want him to ramp up and go practice full court, get the minutes, you have to formally option him down. So right. I don't know if he's just going to practice or if he's going to play games. I guess my thing is, like, if he goes and plays a rehab game, who cares?
And it's part of the reason that team is where they are at Lander Center, right?
Yes, that was 100% part of it.
So you can easily do that.
Correct.
And not have to relocate them to Iowa. Because it does make more sense from a marketing perspective that the Hustle would play in Jackson, Mississippi or somewhere else.
Regionally.
Yeah. Right. Spread out the interest
Little Rock,
in the Grizzlies.
Wherever, right. Yeah.
But the point of it being there is for this type of scenario. We just haven't seen it much. And this is definitely a market. We are a city that really analyzes every small detail of Tiger basketball, and it's turning that way now to the Grizzlies in a lot of ways, where it hasn't been, I think, as much before. Because I guess we haven't seen this type of thing happen. It does happen for other NBA teams.
Yeah, this is a fairly common occurrence. Like, I think when Kennard came back, I want to say he did this. Like, I don't know. There will be a debate that usually happens online that takes me by surprise.
Yeah.
As how is this a debate? Like, this one was that one for me today. This one was strange.
Is it? But it's also, I mean, I guess we've got, I'm a storylines person, so I need something. Give me the reason to make, I'm interested in this game that just happened and the game that's about to happen, because there's so many of them, right? So there's got to be some underlining something else happening in the game for some people.
I really think it's as simple as, like, people saying, like, it's a waste of time to go down there, which I disagree with. Like, they're on the road. They don't practice on the road.
The idea of it is it's not, right?
The idea is that you're trying to ramp him up and you're trying to get him into game shape, and you need him to do cardio and whatnot. Like, I don't. This is where I think it would be, I would hear the criticism. If this were, like, do you remember when they optioned Chandler Parsons down to the Hustle, and Chandler refused to do it?
He would have if the Hustle, if they were the Cancun Hustle.
Well,
he would have gone.
His logic, and honestly, I kind of agreed with him. Basically, he's saying, he's like, they were optioning me down to the Hustle indefinitely. Like, if they were telling me go down there, play for five games, get back, and we'll see you then. He's like, I would have gone back, but he was like, they didn't give me a timeline. But this is not that. Like, to me, this is trying to figure out, like, hey, we need to get this guy back in shape, have him ready to go so that we can give him minutes when he's full go. Like, this is a way to ramp that up.
Right. And I can't, I don't know, and there could be there's a lot going into the Grizzlies. We aren't going to sit on here on the radio and tell fans what they should think or be upset about or question, but some of it all kind of often goes back, to the coaching staff. There's a certain list of things that NBA fans have been used to over the years. Sort of, if something's going wrong, what are you looking at? Like the coach, it's going to keep coming back up in the conversation. Just the overanalyzing until we see the success. It feels like the fans are overanalyzing to make sure this team is in the best position come playoff time.
Yeah, I also think though, like what you're talking about, that the idea that you're talking about, oftentimes though, it happens as things get overanalyzed when you have like an agenda, and you want, like, maybe you've decided you don't like the front office, and so.
Right.
Or you've decided you don't like the coaching staff. Like, you start overanalyzing little things like that to build up a stronger case. And maybe that's what's happening because, I mean, there were frustrations at the end of the game with Taylor Jenkins against the Rockets. I didn't notice as many frustrations against the Timberwolves, but like that's the job. Like, that's why Taylor Jenkins gets paid. That's what the money's for, is the decisions you make, you're going to take the heat. Like, that's the way it is. So maybe there's a little of that happening.
Yeah. But I mean, we're still a month away. All-star break's about a month away now. So we'll see if the intensity, I don't know. That's such a weird description. It's intensity. It's often a feeling, right? It's a feeling you get from the vibes out there, whether you're at the game or watching along with people through social media. And as you're saying, like on the court, like I do feel like the Western Conference focus of the Grizzlies have not really been, they're not getting the quality wins. Not that it matters right now,
The
number of wins, not the quality of them.
Maybe we're overanalyzing. Yeah. Maybe we're overanalyzing, the fan base is overanalyzing.
Right.
Maybe it's as simple as this. They've just gotten into the meat of the Western Conference schedule. And in particular, they are now playing teams that we've seen, they're good. And right. So you're now trying to see how your team stacks up against other good teams. Because I think one thing at this point that's undeniable is it's safe to say this team will kill bad teams. Like they when they go up against bad teams, they absolutely throttle them. But what we don't know, and primarily through injuries, circumstances, whatever the case may be, we oftentimes have not seen them good on good. And now, maybe this is another option we should have thrown out. You finally have Ja, Jaren, and Dez back in the lineup.
Yes.
And so that's kind of the, all right, we know, we've been waiting to see, like, when we get all three. And maybe that's kind of the idea, is you're judging it. Now that they're on the floor, you're more critical. You have a more critical eye because this is, like, yeah, they're not at quote-unquote full strength. Will they ever be at full strength? Who knows? But this is what you're looking for, is those three guys. Like, when we really talk about full strength, it's those three guys being available.
Yeah. I know you. I mean that's a great point, and we'll see. It's still like, and obviously they need time, right? They need time to figure that out. And you got to figure out that stuff live in the game. And it goes back to GG Jackson, like going to South Haven.
Yeah.
If your team is not fighting for a playoff spot, maybe you do let him figure some of that stuff out in an actual NBA game. But the margin of mistakes.
Or you let him take every shot like last year.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like last year, come back and dominate. So yeah, it's. Well, the Grizzlies, they're playing San Antonio tonight, and then they've got San Antonio again.
Yeah, remember like when the Grizzlies hosted Denver for two in a row? The Grizzlies are going to San Antonio for two in a row.
All right. Well.
All right, let's switch to college basketball. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. The Tigers have the best resume of wins right now in college basketball.
All right, so I'm so close to buying this. And it's awesome, right? Like if you're a Memphis fan, or if anybody wants to see any type of success for Penny Hardaway or the Tigers or the city, this is an exciting moment. And I think we really need to take a moment, pause, look at where we are with this Tiger basketball season and figure out how did we get here and how can the Tigers continue to get to this spot every year, right? Because this is the spot you want to be in on 1 month away from Valentine's Day into conference play. You're watching it play out. And partially the Tigers are very much benefited by an amazing SEC, which we might talk about in a minute, right? But what? So
getting to go to Maui.
Yeah, and getting
to
go.
Like
yeah.
that when,
well, no doubt about it. I mean,
getting to go to Maui and winning in the winner's
and being
bracket.
Successful yes. there. Yes. It definitely gave them some big wins. But you look at, so like Memphis, because it already has looked great. But then last night, if you paid any attention to any of the scores with these teams that Memphis has played already and beaten already, like Mizzou and Ole Miss, both of them beat a top five team on the road. I mean,
yes.
like that is bananas. Two teams that the Tigers have beaten on the schedule
Ole Miss
already.
Had literally never done it.
They've never done it until last night. They beat Ole Miss, took down
Alabama
last night, and then Missouri beat Florida in Gainesville last night. So both of them, they beat top five teams on the road last night. And these are teams that Memphis has beat already. Impressive victories from the Tigers in the games against those teams. And of course, you can't get away from UConn, Michigan State, Clemson wins we've seen already. Memphis lost to Auburn and Bruce Pearl, which then gets my brain thinking, well, probably Auburn. I mean, they're number one team in the country now. They probably have a better resume. Obviously, they do have a better NCAA tournament resume because they're number one in the country right now. So they're positioned to be, the top. They're the odds-on favorite at this point. I don't know what Vegas is saying, but I would be.
A lot's
got to happen for Auburn to fall from the idea that they're not going to be. Of course, they got to probably win the conference, but because it's tough. They got a tough road because the SEC looks tough. But Auburn's in a great position.
They just have to be a one seed, I think.
Yeah.
Because
they just got to be a one seed towards the end. But I'm sure they've got some tough opponents left because we're just in January, and a lot of these SEC games are very, very tough, and are very tough places to play as well at this point. So, does Memphis have the best resume? I'm going to sell it because I feel like Auburn.
So here are the
odds, and Auburn beat Memphis, so I think Auburn definitely has the edge in that way, but. Is this the best Memphis non-conference resume since when? My goodness.
I mean, it would have to be one of the Cal teams because he would always have the beefy non... Like, those would be the most
That's
similar.
The strategy, yeah.
So
when you're in a conference like the American.
I am going to sell it. But if the argument's a top five, then I'm kind of here for it. I think you have to say Auburn has the best resume of wins. So here's who Auburn's beaten.
Yes, let's hear it.
Number three in the net. I'm using the net ratings. Right. That's what matters. Three in the net, Houston. Five in the net, Iowa State. 17 in the net, Purdue. A road win at Texas. Those are their quad one wins. They are four and one in quad one. I'm sorry, no, bigger one. They're 9-1 quad one. Home win against Mississippi State, 18. Home win against Missouri, 27. Neutral site win against Ohio State, 31. Neutral site win against Memphis, 35. And 37, North Carolina neutral site. Those were all the Maui games. So they're 10-1. I think they have the best case.
They do. And they still, and because they're in the SEC, they're still playing Florida, Ole Miss. They've, the bulk of the schedule still remains. They got Alabama. Like, they could have just, if they continue the success, just have such an amazing resume come selection.
So the other options would be Marquette, who's 9-2. They have wins against 17, 23, 24, 26, road wins 57, 59. So they're 5-2 in quad one, 4-0 in quad two, 9-2 combined in quads 1-2. Oregon also could be considered 10-2 in quads 1-2, 8-1, including 8-1 in quad one, wins against number 9, 19, 31, 23, 39, 52, 58, 71. And then Memphis's resume is 5-2 in quad one, 4-0 in quad two. So they have wins against 15, 16, 25, 18, 26 or 27, 36. So I think the answer is Auburn, but then it becomes like if it's the second best, they are very much in that conversation.
Definitely in the conversation. You could say the Tigers have the second best. And it is today, right? So like today, it's January 15th. Let's celebrate it today if you're a Tiger fan. Use that, you know, at the water cooler at work as a bragging point to the Tennessee fan in the office or whoever it is, right? Because every day that goes by, other teams are going to be getting better wins stacked up, better schedules than what the Tigers have right now.
But this is where Memphis, like, this is where the conference starts to hurt you, is that everyone else is going to now get credit for playing each other in league play.
Right. You've got to get these stacked up by this point. They did an amazing job with the schedule, and the team did a great job of winning the games, right? Like, the games have got to be on the schedule for you to win them, and they won them. Of course, obviously not all of them. Things could be a little bit better, but how can you complain at all after what we've seen over the past few years? But the games have got to be on the schedule for the team to win them.
And you're also a little bit subject to, last year, they put together a schedule that in the summer you would have thought was a good schedule.
Right.
It didn't hold up. That's not really your fault. Like, you can't predict that. Like, you can't predict Michigan falling apart. You can't predict Arkansas falling apart.
Right.
Like, the thing that has been extremely helpful for Memphis is, whereas last year the resume didn't hold up, now it's even getting better. Like, you thought these things were, like, good at the time, but now Missouri's been way better than expected. Ole Miss was kind of thought to be, all right, that's going to be maybe a tournament team, but now the Ole Miss win, like, is probably going to hold up, and your two losses, like, are just not that bad.
Yeah.
Or your three losses are just not that bad.
Yeah, and it's
not two, right?
And this is when you go back to a lot of the folks advocating, you know, for this.
Not three. One of the losses is bad.
Yeah, one loss is bad. Arkansas State is, nobody can argue the other side of that one.
That's when people ask, why is Memphis, with having the wins that they do, why is their resume, why is their net rating down? It's because the Arkansas State loss.
Right. And it's, which would be a terrible, and it will be, it will look worse if the Tigers are not successful in conference play. But it does make me think, right? So I would say, if you're a Tiger fan, you enjoy this moment, and realize if you're somebody who works on the staff with Penny and in the athletic department, it's like, this is like, did a great job positioning yourself to be successful, and this team is positioned to not only make the NCAA tournament, but to get a great seed and to be in the conversation with saying that your schedule, your wins and your schedule so far is up there with the number one team in the country, and it happens to be the team that you lost to. Like, it's like that is, it's been a long time since the Tigers have seen that. And I wish, and I'm always bringing back Pac-12, Pac-3, Pac whatever number they're going to be. But it would be more fun if you had the idea, knowing that you could be having Gonzaga games coming up too, and that the Tigers were really, truly in this race and chase, right? Like, because right now the Tigers, whatever it is, like, it's slowing down. Like, they're in this spot. You can't do anything to maintain your position.
It's that classic that you get no credit for wins. You can only go down for losses.
But if you had other teams on the schedule, you could surpass Auburn, because Auburn could slip up. You know, you could
I also think
of the world.
I think if you had that league, though, you might.
Probably also had UNLV. If it was a different league.
What I think you would probably see a lighter non-conference.
It wasn't. I mean, because they went to the tournament, right?
I mean,
and other stuff was
year,
SEC opponents. It wasn't that difficult on traditional thinking.
I think there was only like two real bye games.
Right. Well, yeah. But is that?
Let me see. All right.
And I don't know how other schools are doing that.
So Missouri,
because I all
home and home, UNLV home and home. I even think Ohio. I don't think Ohio's a bye game. USF was obviously that neutral, air quotes, neutral site. UConn, Michigan State, Auburn, or Maui.
But I mean, you look at Mizzou and Clemson. I mean, come on now. I mean, those aren't like, I mean, Mizzou's can be great about, like.
But what I'm saying is,
you're going to have Ole Miss and Mississippi State, or Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Tennessee, some combination of these SEC schools on your schedule every year. You should. It's not like the home games.
You would
they
see
had
a few
big
of,
major home games. They weren't playing North Carolina, like, and Duke. And
you'd maybe like, you'd sub out like a couple of games for a Jackson State, like Northwestern State. You'd have a few more bye games. Like, I think you'd have a...
But you'd still hopefully be in a preseason tournament where you
You'd be in a high-level preseason tournament, and then you'd probably have three or four featured games. But if the problem is now you just have this... And
so you
it's
lose
what they have
the
to
Clemson
do.
Like, game off the schedule and you replace it with a bye game. It doesn't, you know, that doesn't really change my thought that the Memphis should be at the where they are ranked in our minds, in our opinions, is having the best non-conference resume right now, which they do. Which maybe, you know, honestly, they might. Yeah,
I think it's fair to say, like, if you're just the problem,
if we're doing non-conference only, the Tigers are up there.
If it's just wins, it's definitely, in my opinion, in the top five.
Yeah.
All right. Along the same lines, buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. The SEC is now a basketball league.
All right, so we go back. Like, these have been things people have joked about and said, and I think we might really, Jeffrey, need to have a serious conversation about this. I think
so.
It might be time. This might be a real serious statement that you're making. I feel like it's so often this is a, you know, you'll get the joke of, oh, well, you know, so and so is a football school now, so and so is a basketball school, Kentucky, Memphis, all, you know, you flip sides of where you're at. The SEC, they're kind of a, you know, a baseball school too, but they're baseball schools. But I think I'm gonna buy this right now. I'm gonna buy it.
Okay,
we look at the combination of what's going on with basketball and what just happened with football. They're more dominant in basketball right now.
So if you look at the conference rankings over at KenPom right now. He sorts it by the ranking of the conference by net rating of teams expected to go 500 in conference play. They are a plus 20. That would be the highest league rank. Let's see. 17? No. It'd be the highest league rank since the Big 12 in 2017, and it's still higher than that. I don't even know if I've seen another 20. So right now the league is not only good, it's good at like a historic level.
I think that half of the top 10 right now, Jeffrey, half of the top 10 in the AP poll.
Entirely possible 13 of their 16 teams get bids. I think it's unlikely.
In a world where they would be barely getting two. Like this is like, we've got Auburn, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky, you can't forget about Texas A&M, right? Mississippi State's hanging in at 15. Ole Miss is at 21 and possibly will move back up, right? I think there's a great team, that Ole Miss team, after what we saw last night. So, and then Georgia at 23. I mean, but they're just all over the top 25 in basketball. It looks like the football top 25.
So, I guess how I would say it is, I'm selling this because in the end, they will never care about anything more than they care about football, with the exception of Kentucky. What I do think we are watching in real time is, in this, as long as we have this era of essentially legal pay for play, we're trending towards every great player is going to be either in the SEC or in the Big Ten. It's going to reveal itself much more quickly in basketball because you can turn over the roster quicker. You don't have to build the program up. You know what I mean? Like
five players.
Correct.
You gotta have,
and you,
really.
You know, only, you know, realistically, you can have three big additions and all of a sudden that changes your entire outlook.
Yeah.
Because it's not just what the SEC is doing right now. The SEC and the Big Ten are likely to get at the minimum right now of 20 bids, like those two leagues. And so that's, I think it's heading that way in almost all sports, but it was just going to display itself more quickly in basketball.
And to your question, does it mean what do they care about more when you define if they are basketball schools or what, or a football school? Then obviously, yeah, they're always going to care more about football. I mean, that's what the conference is defined. I do feel like though their dominance is like, it is obviously spread, and they've taken over college baseball, right? Like it's the SEC now. And
yeah, I guess you can argue a little It's the SEC, yeah.
It's the SEC, right? Don't they play each other in the College World Series every year now?
Well, the problem is, like, sometimes they'll get matched up in super regionals, and so, like, both teams can advance. But there's still a few ACC schools that care. But, no, I mean, they've largely complete.
But if they're just going to add basketball, or they're just adding basketball to their trophy case, like a company just is acquiring another company when you have a big merger. It's like all of a sudden the SEC, like they're just sitting around. It's like, we could be great at basketball too. We aren't going to care about it as much. But like,
well, this is what I also,
here we are. I think this.
This is what I also think is true. I do not believe, other than Texas, and perhaps Texas A&M, although. I'm now getting closer and closer to the point of, like, I will believe Texas A&M is something different than an 8-4, 9-3 team when the evidence shows itself. But it's like, we keep finding new ways for Texas A&M to go 8-4, like, and hype it up. But other than really Texas and Texas A&M, I don't know if there's an SEC school that can max out at the highest level in this era. Like, in the end, you just don't have as many billionaires as Michigan, as Ohio State. Like, you, I don't know if they can. Now, they're always going to have the geographic and recruiting advantages just in terms of more players down here. So the other thing that we've seen in SEC football is, because everyone is so insane about football and everyone is trying to win, it has flattened out the SEC. I don't know. I think it might be fair to say this. The SEC right now has a better chance at having the national champion in basketball than it does in football. Because it used to always be for me.
Are you saying, I mean, obviously this year, they're eliminated from that. Are you saying, like, for the current time?
In this era. Because the other thing.
It is harder to win the college football championship now. You have to win the 12.
Well, like, Georgia can't stack everybody. Georgia and Alabama can't just stack their rosters. Like, when guys aren't playing, they go and transfer. They usually go transfer to other SEC schools.
Would you be saying that if Nick Saban was still the coach at Alabama?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think that's part of it. I think it's part of the decision to retire.
It was because the changing time. I agree.
Listen, he said it himself. He's like, I can't make more rich people in Alabama. Like, it was a motivational tactic to their booster club.
Right.
And so I think that's a huge part of it. Yeah.
It is something, and it benefits the SEC's dominance in basketball right now. In a way, probably hurt. You know, obviously, it makes recruiting more difficult, probably for Penny Hardaway. But it does help that strength of schedule, right?
Oh, for sure.
Because the Tigers are going to be able to put Mississippi State on. You need to win that Mississippi State game now, but put Ole Miss at least better lose to this Mississippi State team than one that was lousy, and. Put Ole Miss on there, and the ability to schedule these regional teams that people care about, whether or not the team is ranked or not.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about, you know, if Ole Miss is on the schedule and they're in the top 25, awesome. But if they're on the schedule anyway, awesome as well. Because, like, it's just like, this is a benefit that they were ranked. And scheduling wise, that's why I would definitely try to focus on those. More
well, and their games people, like, want to see, and like, you can.
That's why I threw away Clemson and Missouri, because I was just like, it's fine. I mean, Missouri obviously has proven to be great, but I like those games where, at least right now, in the position, too bad Tennessee's not on the schedule type of situation, right? Like Tennessee.
You want games where the building's full,
right? Whether the team is ranked or not, and Tennessee does that, and then they have a chance, and a great chance, especially right now, to be ranked. But shout out, yeah. The SEC, keeping things interesting. What, right now, today, how many teams do you think they make the tournament?
I'm going to say they tie the record at 11.
Whoa. Really? Whoa. Okay.
So the record was set back in 2011, 11 Big East teams, because that was my senior year.
Conferences back then.
I believe not only did they have 11 bids, the city of Richmond had as many Sweet 16 teams as they did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a fun one. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Kevin went to the grand reopening of the IKEA. Also, we had Tiger Woods' TGL debut last night. We're going to ask the question, who is this for? We'll discuss that next when we come back, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Coming up next, we will discuss Eli Manning signing a piece of memorabilia that I never expected to see. Also,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Some NFL news. We'll get into that and more. But before we do that, Kevin, you just went to the grand reopening of IKEA. I believe it's the only IKEA in the state, correct? Nashville does not.
It is. You know, one of the bragging rights of a Memphian, right? There's IKEA here. There's not, I don't know where the next closest one would be. I mean, I know Atlanta has one. IKEA, which I've been, we had a lot of fun at IKEA last year. We had trivia nights and bingo nights there. We're looking to bring those back here in 2025 very soon. But IKEA.
Birmingham's the next closest.
Birmingham has one. Yeah. So back in the fall, there was, they closed to do a renovation. And it was a big time. Have you been? Did you ever go since they started this renovation? Like it was.
So I've not been post renovation. I would fall into the category of, I don't know if this makes me weird. I love IKEA. And I can't explain it. Like, it's one of those things where I found, like, when my wife wanted a Saturday to herself and I'm just taking care of my daughter, it was not unusual for me to go to IKEA and just walk through IKEA with her. No intention of buying anything. Like, I think there's something about just, like, seeing the setup and whatnot. And obviously, if you're not super rich, you got to make the most of the space that you got in your house, and IKEA offers a lot of space saving.
Oh, a lot of solutions. Yeah, IKEA.
Solutions, that's a good corporate word.
I'm with you. Like, IKEA is, when IKEA announced they were coming, people were like, what's the big deal? And I think that what's the big deal was always coming for people who have never been to an IKEA.
Yes. It was one of those things where I had honestly never heard of it, and then going to Pepperdine, mm-hmm. IKEA's like, oh yeah, we got it at IKEA. I was like, I don't know what that is.
Right.
I don't know what that is. And then obviously I learned what IKEA was. I think that's probably where my love for it started, was in college. Like, this place is awesome.
It is. And I don't know what it is. I don't like walking around stores or really shopping in general very much. I love going to IKEA. It does seem like more of an experience versus just going shopping.
For me, there's a common thread. I like giant warehouses that have been like partitioned into something. So Costco. Love walking through Costco.
Yep.
I think it's need a lot of space.
You need space.
I don't love feeling claustrophobic. Like,
IKEA is an adventure because you have to like follow the arrows. You feel like,
or you can just get lost.
Right. Try to do a shortcut. You know, any store that has a shortcut in it. I mean, IKEA's got multiple shortcuts.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so if you're wondering what it's like at the newly renovated IKEA, how different is it? It's not that much different. Today's the big celebration. You could go check it out. They're now back being open. They're regular hours. But during the renovation, like, you would like enter through the warehouse side of it. They did a complete tear out, tear everything out, and rebuild kind of a lot of the inside and the displays, which I know you're interested in, Jeffrey.
So is that what's different?
They've reset it, but it's also there's a different layout. If you've never been to the IKEA before, you're not really gonna notice much of a difference.
So am I still starting in the living room section?
You're starting in the living room. It feels like there's less displays, but some more elaborate. I feel like. But it's definitely, so the big difference, Jeffrey, that you'll notice is that you get to the restaurant, like, you don't walk through the restaurant anymore to get to the other side. Like, you used to go to the back, there was the restaurant.
Yeah.
And the Memphis IKEA is different. All IKEAs are different. All IKEAs are mazes, right? There's like a maze, yes. Like there's a maze element. But some of them are more than one floor, right? Like,
yes.
The Memphis one, like, you have the space, they made it all one floor. But you don't go through the restaurant to like the, because it was like, here's this half, and you go through the restaurant to the other half.
Yeah.
It was like, half one was room setups, and then the other half was accessories. That's kind of how I always saw it. That's not really exactly what it is. But now, once you get to the restaurant, you're almost to the end. Like, they've kind of changed it up. But you don't cut through the restaurant. The restaurant's kind of its own little entity in the back. That, to me, was the biggest noticeable difference. And they really, and you'll love taking your daughter up there, because they've really enhanced the kids section. The kids area, they have now a little room, a kids room, because they didn't really have, like, here's an example of a kids room before.
Yeah.
There's a big kids room set up. So
do we still have generic pictures of European cities that you can put on your wall to let people know you travel?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can get those. You can get those. The lighting.
That's clutch.
But that's your big difference. I went there. I had, had some meatballs for lunch. A lot of people there. A lot of people excited. The parking lot was full. Shout out to Kanji Anthony, News Channel 3. Saw Kanji up there. And our friends from News Channel 3, but it's back open now. Not that much different, but it's kind of back to normal is what we really needed to get to with the IKEA.
All right. Are we still doing events?
At IKEA?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm hoping we're hoping to get stuff going.
Fingers
back.
Crossed. Stay tuned to SaritaEntertainment.com.
Yeah. We'll announce it on Right Than Right Trivia.
Sure.
On the Jeff Calkins Show very soon. But, yeah, we're talking about dates. We had to wait for it to get reopened because the store was not in the shape to do anything for the past 5 months. So, hopefully to do bingo again. If you missed that, the as-is bingo was so much fun, giving away IKEA items. And we gave away more stuff at that bingo than I've given away at any other bingo we've ever done. There'd be like 30 to 40 winners in an hour span. So it was like just
really
giving stuff away.
Place.
Like, yeah, it was awesome.
All right. So one of my favorite questions that you love to ask is, who is this for? And it's never derogatory.
IKEA for everyone, right? IKEA
correct.
For everyone.
Like, you can walk into IKEA and you can understand, like, all right, this can be for budget people. It's like, it really is like,
yeah.
you can make it as elaborate as you want, or you can be a college kid. Like, that's what.
But as we switch topics here to the...
This is what I find myself wondering. I'm watching last night casually because it started right before bath time. Bath and bedtime, which...
So you didn't have much time to take it in, but...
Last night was a war. Bath and bedtime. But we had TGL live on ESPN.
The TGL, which sounds like a television brand, but
correct.
Is actually
the Tomorrow Golf League.
Tomorrow, yes. So the TGL sounds like a... a brand of generic television. And then when you say it out loud, it sounds like something that they have at Tomorrowland at Disney World or something. But anyway, the
TGL,
Tomorrow Golf.
I hope everybody's seeing it. It sounds like something that was like named by a private equity firm.
It's just, yeah.
Very generic. All right, so it's Tiger last night makes his debut. And if you want me to give the most optimistic case, I do not know how often Tiger Woods can competitively play four rounds, if ever again. There's always the Tiger Woods element where you don't rule it out, but his body is clearly... his body is let him down, and he's probably done a lot. He's also 49 years old.
Right.
He can do this. So this is
that,
maybe...
That's who it's for.
Maybe
it's
this is what it is. Like the idea is this is a way to prolong watching Tiger Woods, and a big part of this is the interaction between the players. It's clearly not as serious as even a PGA Tour stop. Like, they're yucking it up. The best case I would say is it's like if you were able to eavesdrop on them playing a money game on a Tuesday. Like, it's great players. It's clearly not a major championship, but they're
a little more reality television element to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and like
is to watch the people.
It's more TV appropriate ribbing, but like you do get to hear them interact with one another. So that can be a little bit entertaining. The problem that I see with it is when you watch it, you feel like you're just watching, honestly, rich people play polo. Like, it's like four rich people with rich people in attendance, and not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying it's evil, but like...
But is it just something you want to watch?
Correct.
It
has not helped that the first two matches have not been competitive. Like, last night was a skunking, like, 11 or 12 to 1. The week before was, like, 9 to 1.
So who is it for? So it's the TGL. It's a new golf league. But so it's inside. So it's the people who are craving golf in the
it's the virtual
bad weather
golf.
Months.
Yeah.
Is it for those people
except
that really need some golf?
Except they're playing it in Palm Beach. Honestly, it looks like a hauled out IKEA with
right.
a giant golf simulator and like artificial turf.
So they're playing with the golf simulator. Why wasn't this like some partnership with Top Golf and making it more real golf?
I'm guessing. Well, one, I think they
mix it with what's those shows, the Wipeout shows and things.
Yeah,
like, you know,
Cena's hosting yeah. now. I think Steph Curry has one.
Yeah, something like you could have done
so
that genre of a golf show.
The simple answer is they've partnered with TrackMan, who is a high-tech golf simulator, rather than using the technology that Topgolf uses.
Right. So, I mean, definitely the technology is different. It's a different... Topgolf is more real.
It's kind of different, but not really. It's the same idea. It's just clearly... That's the other thing. Very corporate in there. Lot of thanking of the sponsors. Again, it's a business. But this was the other thing I kept thinking of. It's like, how does this thing make money?
Do you feel like is it part also ESPN trying to? I mean, ES or be twitchy?